Welcome to the Get Better with Heather Show, episode 31. This is Heather McAllister, health and life coach. And on this show and in my health coaching program, I help women in midlife create the body and the life that they want. If you would like to get updates on all of my content, go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button and get all my weekly updates. I truly hope and my goal is to help women in midlife get better insight to help them on their journey to have a better body and a brighter future. Most people looking to lose weight will never search in the Google search bar how to love yourself more, how to love yourself into weight loss, how to be more self-accepting. And quite frankly, most of the people who reach out to me for a weight loss program and who I work with as clients are surprised at how much more involved it is, honestly. So health coaching in general is helping people achieve better health. And the majority of people that I work with are women in midlife looking to lose weight. And what's interesting is that, you know, there's diets and there's strategies and tools for weight loss, and all of those are really, truly helpful. It's probably what I have focused on the most when it comes to keeping myself at a healthy weight. But there are other things that are more important to that and are more important than that. And these are the tools and strategies of adopting a healthy mindset. And this is probably the most surprising part of my health coaching program that my clients will say, I didn't realize it was going to be hard like this. I thought you were just going to tell me what to eat and what not to eat. And whereas some of that is important, and that's definitely a piece of health coaching program, right? I have a lot of knowledge on, you know, different strategies and how to balance hormones better and all of that. And it's actually something that I really enjoy learning and reading about. But that really isn't the most impactful and powerful part of a health coaching or a weight loss program. So all of those strategies can be different for everyone, number one. So some people, just given their genetics or whatever's going on with them physiologically, their lifestyle, their preferences might do better on a vegan diet or a carnivore diet or a low-carb diet. And, you know, that can change. That can change as someone body changes, something happens in the outside world and impacts them. You know, there's just so many different nuances and differences amongst all of us. So there's really no one diet plan, but it's definitely part of a health coaching program. But none of that really matters, and none of that really truly helps if you're coming from a brain that is working against you. And so this is the topic that we're going to talk about today. And actually, this may be a little bit more of what I talk about in episodes to come, because I do find it a lot of fun in some of my previous episodes, just kind of talking about health stuff. You know, what's going on with your gut microbiome? Because it's both. It really, that stuff is real. That biology, the physiology, the best exercises, you know, those can all be part of a really good plan. But getting your mindset right is probably the underlying deciding factor of whether or not you're going to stick with it, whether or not it becomes long-term and permanent. The truth of the matter is that those of us who have been on yo-yo diets, and if you're listening to this, you may be one of those people where you've gone on diets, they work, and then you go off, you go back on them. You go off, they work temporarily. Those are usually the result of a change just in your body and not your mind, because your body, your outside body, is always going to match what's going on internally, what's going on inside your brain. saying it another way, your outside world, your results, most of what you see within yourself, it's really a reflection of what's going on inside your mind. So if you wonder why, you know, it's so hard to maintain a healthy weight and you always revert back, it's because you haven't done the mind work. And that's truly the secret sauce of my health coaching and my life coaching programs. So today I'm going to talk about self-acceptance and loving yourself enough to lose weight in a healthy way permanently. I know that this idea of self-acceptance may sound a little corny or a little woo-woo, but self-acceptance is probably the most important step in any permanent weight loss program. This is one of the reasons why those diets that tell you to eat this and not that can work, but don't always work. Becoming aware of how this is likely your obstacle in your life, in your journey to have and create the body that you want is really, really important. So I encourage you to listen to this episode because I think it'll really make a big impact and you may have some ahas listening to it. Before we talk about self-love, let's talk about what happens when we don't like ourselves in this journey, when there's self-loathing and negativity, and we are shaming ourselves as a way to motivate ourselves. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just been like angry at yourself? You get on the scale and you say, I'm not going to eat today because I put on 5 pounds over the weekend. I feel awful. And you're just mad and angry and you don't like your body. You put on pants and you make yourself wear them, even if they're too tight and they make you miserable, because you just can't accept the fact that you're heavier than you want to be. You can sometimes use this as a way to motivate yourself, but I'm telling you that that's a temporary method. Eventually, you'll self-sabotage, and that's going to creep in there, and that's going to show up in many, many ways. You'll start to say, oh, it's okay if I go off my diet this one time, or if I miss this exercise class. You start making excuses. You start dropping the ball. You start saying, oh, but I've lost 5 pounds. I feel good, so I should be able to have a brownie or whatever. That's self-sabotage. That's coming from this place of not having accepted or truly loved yourself enough to make better decisions. So a lot of people will come to me as a health coach and they're really looking for the perfect meal plan. They want to know how many calories to eat. They ask me to tell them what to eat. What are the best exercises? What can I tell them to do to lose weight? And we do sometimes talk about those things in the context of like what works for them in particular. But probably the most important part, probably the first step, is really about the commitment that you need to make to yourself and the mindset that you need to have. And it's a process. So this isn't an all or nothing, but the mindset that you need to approach the process with, that's where the work is. That's really the work of my health coaching and my life coaching, which kind of go hand in hand in this, because any coach really is someone who's helping you make better decisions and coming from a better mindset versus just giving you the answers. Because you know what? You can go online and you can Google, you know, the carnivore diet and try it, right? You can Google a vegan diet and try it. You can go on Weight Watchers and eat points, right? But if it doesn't stick, there's another reason for that. And that's really where this is different. A lot of people will come to me and they're just not sure. They're blocked. They're like, I don't understand why this doesn't work for me, why this is so hard. And that's, again, where health coaching comes in, because you have somebody else, your coach, kind of seeing things from a different lens and bringing up that awareness into your reality and kind of helping you work through that process. So today we're talking about self-acceptance, self-love, and how this mindset can truly help you sustain weight loss over the long term. And that's what we want. We don't want something that's going to work for 3 months, or maybe you do, then this isn't the show for you. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't, you know, we're going to drop 10 pounds in, you know, 10 weeks kind of a thing. It's really about developing the skills and the tools and the mindset of maintaining a healthy weight and a body that you love for a lifetime and to live more fully. And honestly, that's where I'm at this point in my life. I'm 49 now. I'm not necessarily looking for, you know, the Barbie doll body. It's much more about feeling good in my skin, being happy in my life, having the energy and the health to do the things that I enjoy, being there for my kids. And we all have different reasons, right? Those are just some of my reasons. So when we talk about loving yourself and accepting yourself, I don't mean that you're going to become complacent. There's a difference there. It's not an excuse. It's not saying I'm fine with you know, the extra fat that's on my body because, well, honestly, it may not be healthy. And that's all individual. We all have our own size in mind, our own health standard, you know, but it's about accepting where you're at and not hating yourself for it, still loving yourself. And I'm going to get into why that's important. But some people get confused at between, you know, being positive about their body and not being ashamed of themselves from where they're at versus, you know, making that an excuse to not move forward. They are two totally different things. Because when you love yourself enough, eating all the cookies and the donuts and the chips don't align with that value that you have for your healthy, for a healthy body, right? Those aren't good for you in massive amounts. Occasionally, they may be, maybe they are. But when you love yourself enough to feed yourself and nourish yourself with healthy foods, it doesn't mean choosing things that don't love you back, like the chips and the donuts and the fries or whatever else. So accepting yourself, there are two ways that I want to talk about today that we can distort our reality and not accept ourselves. And these things impact how we feel and how we function in life. And you're going to hear more about this in as I go along in this show, but how we feel really is what motivates us to do things, right? If you feel tired, that's going to impact what you do, right? If you feel angry, it really dictates your behavior afterwards. If you're really sad, all of those things. So our feelings are really the impetus for most of our behaviors in life. And when we're not accepting our body, the one that we have now, it's really difficult to move on in a healthy way because if we're not accepting our body, we're doing different things to not accept it, right? And that's what we're going to talk about. So we want to practice self-acceptance and compassion for our body. And that really, again, is just critical for our weight loss program. If we're not accepting our body, we may be denying it. And this can show up in our lives in many, many different ways. Denial, again, is not accepting something as it is. It's stuffing it away, right? And we use this because it could have worked for us as a kid, right? To avoid, you know, shame or guilt, really powerful negative emotions that maybe we just didn't know how to handle as a child. So we denied it, right? If we were cornered by a teacher or a parent, we might have denied that we did something wrong. It was a defense mechanism. And if it worked for you, you probably used it again and again and again and again. And so this became a defense mechanism. And we all use this to a certain degree. But if you're using it into adulthood and you're in denial about things, whether it's your body and how it looks, which if you're in denial about, you know, your weight, you may not even be seeking to lose weight because you're not acknowledging it at all. But the other part of that is that when we have powerful feelings that we deny and we stuff down, shame for any reason, we kind of keep this uncomfortable feeling below the surface. And a lot of those uncomfortable feelings could be shame, guilt, sadness, grief, fear. Really, it's something that's too painful for us to acknowledge. And it could be, you know, even our body weight. You know, we don't want to acknowledge how bad it's gotten. So we push it below the surface. And pushing it below the surface is kind of like filling up a balloon or a great big ball and trying to put it underwater in the pool. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And this often creates more emotion, and it takes, again, more energy to keep that suppressed. So often denial will make you behave in ways to help self-soothe. So it may lead to overeating or drinking. And that behavior furthers the distress, right? Because those bad behaviors, those coping mechanisms have negative consequences in our lives, right? If we're overdrinking, we may not be sleeping well, and then we wake up feeling groggy the next day. We're overeating, we're putting on weight, right? And that has a negative impact on our body eventually. And it may not have an immediate impact on our body, but over time it does. And so if we continue with this denial and we're denying our, you know, negative coping strategies as well, the distress actually grows, right? So you're engaging in these unhealthy behaviors that suppress feelings we don't want to face, and that balloon just continues to get bigger and bigger until it gets really uncomfortable holding that big balloon down and keeping those emotions down. And they seep to the surface. They don't ever go away. And again, it's draining. It's exhausting to keep those things down. On the other hand, we can sometimes live with too much negativity going on in our brain, right? So we're living in this negative thought loop. This is sort of the other side of it, right? So on one side, we're kind of denying things even exist, and we're using up all of this mental energy. It's taking up a lot of room inside our brains, trying to hold it down. And the other side of things is having this negative thought loop that makes the negative feeling feel even more and gives it more meaning than it actually does. This kind of inner critic that I like to call it, that a lot of us have, we're really hard on ourselves, or we're really hard on other people, we're really judgmental and critical, kind of blames everything and everyone about maybe the not best situation out there, right? So for example, you sit down at the end of the day and you begin to feel stressed, you're angry, you're exhausted by all the things that went wrong that day. Living in the negative may show up like this. You sit down at the end of the day and you're angry or stressed, you're exhausted, and you think about how wrong the day was, how everything went wrong, how it was awful, how your boss yelled at you and you feel like you're going to be stuck at an awful job forever, how your son got an F on a test, and this must mean you're a bad parent and your son or child is doomed to be a failure. You burned dinner. And you're thinking, oh, I just can't get anything right. I can't catch a break. So at that point, you reach for a glass of wine. And this also kind of ties in with the denial. And you reach for some chips to comfort yourself and just to numb yourself from all the bad things that are going on and how bad you feel. So using food begins to become a pattern. And this actually could have developed when you were a child, to help you feel better, right? We often have done this as children, right? You're sad about something. Your parents took you out for ice cream. It could have been a reward too. So food just naturally And in our brain, a lot of these foods naturally make us feel good. They release feel-good hormones. It's a survival thing. But now we have food that is really, really, really engineered to have these addictive properties. And they make us feel good. So when we're feeling crappy, we reach for food. We self-soothe by eating or drinking. It allows us to numb out the discomfort of what happened during our day or our circumstances in life. The truth is, we all have bad days and we all face unfortunate circumstances in life. And these difficulties are inevitable. They're part of our human experience. It's really how we respond to them and what we make them mean in our lives that makes a difference. Now, if we're stuffing these feelings down and we're denying them, they're going to impact our behavior, right? We're going to feel worse. They're going to grow. They're going to impact how we think and how we feel and the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. So this is where practicing acceptance comes in. It's an acknowledgement of those difficult emotions. It is feeling those emotions, allowing them, but also realizing you're not perfect. Sometimes we do things that are incorrect. We mess up. Sometimes other people overreact and blame us for things, right? We might have not even done anything wrong at work. And it's okay to sit with that feeling. It's okay to feel the anger and then let it go or be curious about it versus judgmental. You know, beating ourselves up isn't going to help the situation, number one. And number two, we're not perfect, right? We're going to do things. It's okay. Don't have to shame ourselves for things that have gone wrong in our lives. We don't have to shame ourselves for having a pattern of overeating, because that is something that we turned to as a kid and kind of carried on into later life where it becomes more of a problem. And it doesn't mean you agree with it. And it doesn't mean that you don't want to change it. But it's accepting it versus denying. Accepting it versus continually making it mean more than it needs to mean. And it's stopping it from taking up so much space in your head, because once you acknowledge and you feel it and you accept it and you look at it more objectively, then you can move on. When we can accept situations like having a boss that you don't like, or a child who's going through teenage stuff, right? It's normal stuff. People, kids make mistakes. Kids have problems just like we do. If we can accept that our body is overweight, can we accept that our coworkers may be gossipy or judgmental or critical? Can we accept the fact that everything's more expensive right now, right? There's less money to go around. That we might make mistakes at work. We may be late one day. We may forget to do something, and just allow the emotions. Let them out, because that'll free yourself from the energy that it takes to numb and suppress, right? It takes so much more energy, and it's going to impact us negatively when we're continually trying to not think about these things. Or when we do think about them, they become so overwhelming because it means that we're a bad person. When we can accept ourselves as imperfect and human and look at the situations more from curiosity than criticism, then we can free ourselves from the negative loop of emotions that keep us needing to reach for food or wine, or whatever the behavior is, zoning out on the TV, right? Binge watching Netflix versus getting off the couch and going for a walk. When we allow these negative emotions to continually take up residence in our head, it's exhausting. It's going to burn you out. So when you go on a weight loss journey, these emotions are bound to come up. For one, when you take away the defense mechanism that you've been relying on, food, You're going to be left with feelings that you've been avoiding, right? But also, in order to come at this from a healthy perspective, you must first accept your body for what it is, not from a self-loathing, I don't know why I can't say that, self-loathing place that is mad at yourself for being where you are, that hates your body. When you can give yourself some grace, sit with those feelings and emotions and accept it from a more objective place, then that's going to help you when everything falls apart at work, in life, when things come up. When you decide to stop eating chips at the end of the day because you're capable of acknowledging emotions and you don't need to numb yourself anymore, and maybe going for a walk is enough to release some of the negative emotions that you've had from that day, or maybe the walk helps you process some of what's been going on. That's a huge step. Sadness, stress, grief, all exist. Practicing acceptance of the hard emotions in life can help you move forward with a healthier outlook and healthier ways of coping. There are some situations that we can't change, and some of those really heavy emotions from things that have happened terribly in life might be really helpful to seek a therapist to work those out with. And there may be really some deep hard emotions that are impacting your body right now and impacting your ability to lose weight. And again, that may be a place to seek out therapy, somebody who is a professional in, you know, really helping you work through some of those past events and things that have happened. But when it comes to weight loss and when it comes to dealing with everyday annoyances, such as the miserable boss that we have or our coworkers who are not nice to us, you know, there's a different way we can look at those things. And there are things that we can change. We may not, again, be able to change our boss and our coworkers, but we can change how we react to them and what we make their behaviors mean, right? We can maybe not take it on as meaning something about us. Or we could just look at it and be curious and ask, I wonder why they're like that, right? I wonder what's going on in their lives that's making them so miserable that they need to be miserable towards me, right? Because most of the time, those behaviors of the people around us have nothing to do with our own self. It's them, really. But we don't want to just accept an overweight body, right? So we might have to accept some of the things about our boss and our coworkers, or maybe we decide to change our job eventually, right? That's always an option. But we don't want to just accept our body weight and say it's okay, because the reality is that losing weight to a point is healthier, right? It's going to help you move better. It's going to help you have more energy. It may prevent or even get rid of some chronic diseases that you're facing. And that is not to say that some weight may be perfectly fine for health, right? So looking at your BMI chart can give you kind of a better idea of what is healthy versus unhealthy. But what we want really is the mindset that accepts the situation, faces the facts, and accepts it for what it is without paralyzing guilt or shame or sadness, so that we want to eat to suppress it, right? Or we find ways to avoid it, or we're just angry about it. When we accept ourselves, we're naturally happier. We have more energy. It frees up our brain to be positive, to become resourceful, right? When you're coming from a positive mindset, you're more creative. You're more likely to take healthier actions. So being positive about your body, accepting your body, loving your body doesn't mean giving up on a goal, but it allows us to have the mental energy to make better more sustainable steps moving forward. When we can be in alignment with how we feel about our bodies, then we will continue with the goal, right? If you don't like yourself now, losing 10 pounds isn't going to make you like yourself more. And you can come from a place of love and still know what's healthy for you, right? Loving yourself isn't having the cupcake or the glass of wine, right? Eating foods that aren't good for you is not self-love. Loving yourself allows you to take steps that honor your body, and it leads you to a path of health. When you can acknowledge that you are worthy of self-love, that you are not perfect, and that that is normal, it's human, that thinking you are worth it no matter what can lead you to take action that supports that thought, right? How do you feel if you sit back and allow yourself to love your body, to accept it? You're going to feel better in some way, happier, more positive. The results of that feeling are going to be actions that are healthier, right? You're going to be more likely to want to eat healthy if you're feeling good about your body. Think about it this way. When you care about somebody, let's say it's your child or it could be your elderly parent, right? When you care and you love them, you want to do everything in your power to keep them healthy, right? So you tell your kids no snacking before dinner because you know that they're going to be eating snack foods, which isn't healthy, instead of eating their healthy dinner. You take them to practice, right? Their soccer practice so that they could run around because you know that that's good for them. You make sure that they're doing their homework because it's good for them. You love them. Then think about someone you really don't care about. I mean, we all care about everyone to some degree, right? But maybe it's your boss that you're really not happy with. How hard are you willing to work for that boss who's been a dictator in your life? How much energy are you going to expend on keeping them healthy? If you look at yourself that way, right? If you are your own dictator and you're mean to yourself and you say mean things to yourself, are you really going to work hard and do loving things for yourself? No, you don't like yourself. So who cares, right? Who cares if you eat the things that you know that you're not supposed to be eating that aren't good for you? You must see yourself as worthy of love. And that starts with loving yourself enough to take those steps to get better in life. So you might want to ask yourself, is there a voice in your head saying you're not enough, that you're not worthy, that you're less than because of your weight or maybe some other reason? When you come from this place of negativity, you are less likely to take good care of yourself and make good choices. So we want to live somewhere in this middle ground, right? Because it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right? But it shouldn't also be all negative doom and gloom. We don't want to deny the facts. We want to understand the reality of a situation and not make it mean something negative about ourselves. And that's kind of where this self-acceptance comes in. You really want to be sort of the person observing the situation from above, right? That just acknowledges it. Yes, I have 50 pounds to lose or 20 pounds to lose. Yes, I'm not in optimal shape right now. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Doesn't mean I'm less than. Doesn't mean I'm not worthy of love, and it doesn't mean I can't love myself, and it doesn't mean that I can't take healthy steps to move forward in my life. You can lose 50 pounds, right, only to gain it right back again, only because you never took this step, right? It's kind of like that miserable business owner who's still unhappy when they reach $1 million. you can reach your goal and still be unhappy, because it's really what's going on inside your mind that makes the difference. When you reach this point of self-love, this unconditional accepting of your reality, loving yourself enough to make choices, that's life-changing, right? That's where this comes from, an amazing space that you could carry with you forever. And yes, you need to know, you need to experiment. There's more to the story, right? But without this step, you're very likely going to revert back to old behaviors, old coping mechanisms. So one of the things that's changed in my health coaching and life coaching program for weight loss for women is that I used to feel I needed to have a program that people would buy into kind of quickly, right? So I had a 12-week program, a 90-day program. And what I found was that this work, this really life-changing work, takes longer than 12 weeks for the most part. If you really want to see results, try things out and walk through this program in a way that is sustainable and that really makes a difference. And you can have a life-changing insight. Really, it could be on our second session that you have this life-changing insight. It's really, really interesting. But then it's applying it into life. And so I have decided to change my program to a 6-month program, because it's so much more than just about food and diet. And I hope that this episode kind of highlighted and maybe brought some of that to the surface. I'm sure there's a better way that I could teach this concept. This was a little bit longer, but I hope that, you know, you've taken something out of this episode to apply and think about. One of the best ways that I know to do this on my own. So if you're not interested in getting coached, if you are interested in getting coached, just go ahead and contact me. You can get a hold of me on my website, getbetterwithheather.com, probably the easiest way. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook and message me. But if you're not ready to go that route, or you just don't think it's right for you, just journaling and really becoming aware of some of the negative narrative that's in your brain, right? That's probably one of the best ways to start doing that process on your own. So I hope this was helpful, and I really appreciate you sticking with me and listening to this, and I hope you have a wonderful week.